You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 27th of July 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, last week I removed a podcast from the website, and today's episode is going to be a replacement for that podcast. It was quite a popular one. It was called Abrahamic Faiths. And the reason why I moved it is because I wasn't quite clear enough about some of the terminology that I was using. I used the word bastard in it, and it was in the biblical sense, and I didn't actually make that quite clear enough. So today's podcast is going to be a replacement for that. So if you are a regular listener, I may be covering some information that you have heard before, but if you are a new listener, then you'll probably find this quite enlightening. Because this term, Abrahamic religions, I find this really offensive. It's something that has just come about over the last 70 years, and it ties in with the New World Order goal of having one religion, and everybody all following one religion. And part of that is drawing an equivalency between religions and suggesting that they are all worshipping the same God. And this benefits Islam and it benefits Judaism, but it certainly doesn't benefit Christianity. Either there is one truth or there isn't. And if you say that there is more than one truth, then you're basically saying that it's all a lie. You can't have more than one truth. And Christianity has always professed itself to be the truth. Christ himself said that he was the truth. He was the truth personified. Now, they like to claim that there is a descent from Judaism and a descent from Islam that goes back to Abraham. So first off, we'll look at this phrase, Abrahamic faith. So what was Abraham's faith? Well, Abraham's faith was in the promises that God made to him. And the promise that God made to him essentially was that many nations would come from his loins, and those nations would have kings, and they would spread out across the earth, and they would have a new language. There are all sorts of promises that were made that in actual fact have only come true for white people. But the essential promise was that all of these would come from Abraham's son, Isaac. So that was the promise, and that was the faith that Abraham had. And Abraham's faith was tested. Yahweh said to him, "You need to now sacrifice your son Isaac on that altar." And Abraham's faith was that somehow Isaac would not die, because God had promised to him that his son Isaac would be the father of many nations and many kings. So that was his faith. And he went ahead and he put Isaac on the altar, and a lamb appeared that had apparently been set aside from the beginning of the world to take Isaac's place. And Isaac lived, and therefore all that then came from Isaac was blessed by God, because he had been on that altar, because he had been set up as a sacrifice on that altar. Everything that then came from Isaac was blessed by God, and all the promises would go through that one man, Isaac. Now, Muslims claim that they came from Isaac's brother. Now, Isaac's brother wasn't a part of these covenants, and Muslims are Arabs. And Arabs are spoken about in the Bible. The actual word Arab itself comes from a Hebrew word, which is Ereb, which you can find in Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, number 6154. And it tells us the origin of the word Arab. It says, Arabia, mingled people, mixed multitude, woof. And what it means by woof is the wharf and the woof, mixing together two different types of thread in a cloth to make a textile. So it's talking about mixing two different types together. This is why it says a mingled people, a mixed multitude, a woof. And then it continues and it says, from Arab, the web or transverse threads of cloth, also a mixture or mongrel race. And then it says, Arabia, mingled people, mixed multitude, woof. This is the exact words. It says mongrel race. It's not politically correct to use that terminology anymore, but that is the closest definition that we have to this word. So what is that saying? It is saying that Arabs are a mixed race, which means that they can't be a part of these promises because they have two fathers. There's a verse in the New Testament where the Jews are disputing with Christ and they say, we don't have two fathers. And people say, well, what does that mean? How can anybody have two fathers? Well, what it is referring to is being made up of two different races. That's where you get the two fathers. One father would have been Adam, and the other father would have been a father of one of these other races that we have in the world around us. And that excludes people from being a part of Christianity. That excludes people from being a part of Abraham's faith, because his faith was that all these people would come from Isaac's loins. They would come from his family. So Arabs can't claim to be a part of that. Jews can't claim to be a part of that either, because as we see in the Jewish Encyclopedia, their heritage comes from Esau, Edom, and Esau, Edom married Canaanite women. So their offspring were essentially Canaanites, who again are excluded from the promises to God. So we can't say that these faiths altogether are Abrahamic faiths. They have an origin in Abraham. They don't have an origin in Abraham. They don't lawfully have an origin in Abraham. And just getting back to this word that is used for Arabs, this Ereb word, if you look at Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, the one before, 6153, it's also, this word Arab is also used to describe evening time between sunset and dark. So it has a connotation of darkening, the darkening of the skin. Originally, these people would have been white, and then they interbred with the other races that are around, and that turned their skin dark. And this is why they're using the same word for it. And if you look at the following number, 6154, which is also Arab, it says foreign people, foreigners, and mixed. So these aren't a people that are a part of this covenant. They're not a part of the promises that God made to Abraham, and yet this terminology, this Abrahamic faith, is drawing an equivalency from them. It's trying to say that Islam and Judaism both come from the same God, and I think it's quite clear just from this that they're not following the same God. They're following their own gods, and even the church goes along with this now. The Pope goes along to these interfaith meetings, and he uses terminology Abrahamic faith. There is one Abrahamic faith, and that is Christianity. When he put his son Isaac on that altar and the lamb appeared, I believe it was a goat appeared in the thicket, and that was substituted for Isaac, and it said that lamb of God had been there since the beginning. That was a prefigure of Christ on the cross and Christ's sacrifice. There is a line going right the way through from the Old Testament to the New Testament, with Christianity being the fulfillment of it, the fulfillment of Abraham's faith. So that's one reason why Muslims and Jews can't be seen as being a part of Abraham's faith. Now, when I was doing the previous podcast on this, I talked about the word bastard, and I didn't really go into it enough. And I was saying, well, these are bastard races, so they can't be a part of it. And I wasn't using that in the modern terminology. I was using the term in the biblical sense, because it has a different definition to the one that we use today in the dictionary. Now, the word bastard in the Bible is translated from a Hebrew word. And Wikipedia tells us, in the Hebrew version of the Bible, a mamzer, and that is the word, a mamzer is a person born from certain forbidden relationships, or the descendant of such a person. Mamzer status is not synonymous with illegitimacy, since it does not include children whose mothers were unmarried. So what could this mean? Well, what it's talking about is the offspring of forbidden relationships. So what are forbidden relationships? Well, we're told right at the beginning in Genesis what marriage is. Marriage is between flesh of my flesh and bone of my bones, which means a lawful marriage is between someone with the same flesh as you and the same bone structure as you. And you'll remember that Eve was created from Adam. So Eve was essentially exactly the same race as Adam. So a forbidden marriage, or a marriage which was an unlawful marriage, would be between two different races. Now, what it says here in Wikipedia about this, children whose mothers were unmarried, that's still okay. That's because you don't need a piece of paper for it to be a lawful marriage. Thousands of years ago, they weren't exchanging contracts and exchanging rings. A marriage was the marriage act. It was the consummation of the marriage. And so long as the two people involved were of the same race, of the same nation, then it was a lawful marriage. If it was an unlawful marriage, then that person had the status of mamzer, which is translated as bastard in our Bibles. And it is quite interesting, the verses that actually use this. We've got Deuteronomy 23:2. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. So it's saying bastards just cannot come into the congregation of the Lord. That's just the way that it is. And it's telling us that mixed race people can't come into the congregation of the Lord. Now, today, the church doesn't pay attention to a lot of this, as we see, which is why we have homosexuals that claim to be Christians. We have the church supporting that. Obviously, there are mixed race people that consider themselves to be Christians. And I would suggest that maybe they don't take it as seriously as they would like people to think that they do, because they clearly don't pay much attention to verses like this. And I'm not saying that people can't follow Christian teachings, they can't try to be good Christians. But the fact that it says here that a bastard cannot enter into the congregation of the Lord, how then can Islam claim to be a part of these same promises? How can Islam claim part of the same inheritance that Abraham left to Isaac? This was Abraham's faith. This is the inheritance that he left to Isaac. And it says a bastard cannot enter into the congregation of the Lord. That's saying that Arabs can't be a part of this. It's also saying Jews can't be a part of this, because Jews are a mixed race as well. We can look at Zechariah 9:6. It says, and a bastard shall dwell in Ashdod, and I will cut off the pride of the Philistines. And it's obviously talking plural there. It's not talking about, oh, there's this one bastard that was in Ashdod. It's talking about a people group that were in Ashdod. Then we can look at Hebrews 12. And this is a particularly good one. This has a particularly interesting lesson, I think. Hebrews 12, 5 through to 8. It says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, and not sons. Now, this explains why people suffer. We are punished when we do the wrong thing. Other races aren't punished when they do the wrong thing. And that's why these other races are used to tempt us, and they're used as scourges by God. They're used to punish us. When we turn against God, throughout the Bible, we can see when the Israelites turned against God, these other races were used to punish them. And it's the same with Christians today. We turn our back on Christianity, and before you know it, our countries are filled with these other races chastening us, and they're used as a scourge against us. And this isn't to say that we should be hating these other races, because it tells us here, you know, we should be loving the fact that we are chastened by God, that he cares about us, that he tries to correct us, and that is how he corrects us. And we need to endure the chastening. We don't need to start behaving like the people that are chastening us. The whole point of this is that we can show virtue by not being like them. We need to see what we are not in order to learn what we are. We have to know what we are not before we can realize who we are. And I probably used to use this term bastards quite a lot, and I've never meant it in the modern sense of illegitimate or the modern sense of cursing with it. I've always meant it in the biblical sense. Well, you've even got a South African tribe that are called bastards, or a derivation of the word bastard, because they were a mixed race tribe. Because this is the old language, basically. This is the old definition of the term, and through it we can see that the Bible can only have been written by white people. It couldn't have been written by mixed race people. It's interesting that we have these black Hebrew Israelites today. That's what they call themselves, black Hebrew Israelites, and they seem to just base their ideas on one or two verses, and they completely ignore all the descriptions throughout the Bible of the people who wrote the Bible being fair-skinned and blue-eyed and rosy-cheeked with ruddy cheeks. And even the word Adam itself means to show blood in the cheeks. And yet they ignore all of that. It's quite bizarre that they can do that. And again, I think that is just to cast dispersions upon white people who do say, well, look, Christianity is exclusive. It is just for white people. It is only white people that are truly going to be able to understand it. And if we look at the African churches, and if we look at voodoo, and if we look at the South American churches and some of the things that go on there, I think that bears it out, that Christianity was intended for white people. Whether you think Europeans are the descendants of the Israelites or not, it's quite clear that the Bible was written by white people. And you don't forget that the Near East and the Middle East and all those civilizations that we read about from thousands of years ago, they were all started by white people. I will talk about that a little bit later on today in Real Britannia. Apparently the first civilization of all, Sumeria, that was started by white people, and they had a problem with race mixing. All the way back then, they were doing the same as we are now. They were trying to civilize these other races, and then they made them into citizens, and then they started interbreeding with them, and they thought this was a wonderful thing that they had converted these other races to civilization. And of course then, their own empire was invaded by another group of white people that hadn't been so silly as to do that. And it's the same thing that we're seeing now. It's this same story, trying to include everyone, when what we should really be doing is just leaving these other races to their own devices, leaving them to develop at their own pace, and not having anything to do with them. And that's what it says in the Bible. It says we shouldn't be seeking their peace. We shouldn't be having them in our cities. We shouldn't be having anything to do with them. And the prophecies say that in the end times, the camp of the saints will be surrounded by the armies of Gog and Magog. And that's the situation that we are in now. But to get back to this idea of there being Abrahamic faiths and Islam somehow having an equivalency to Christianity, somehow sharing in the heritage of Christianity, there's another verse which I think bears some relevance to this. And that is Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. And this is St. Paul speaking, and he says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." And what he is saying here is if anybody preaches another religion, another gospel that differs in any way from the one that Paul was preaching, then he should be cursed. And it goes even further than that. It says an angel from heaven. If an angel from heaven preaches another gospel, then he should be cursed. And what is the Quran? The Quran was supposedly dictated to Muhammad by Gabriel the angel. So we have in Islam, in the genesis of Islam, we have exactly what Paul is talking about here. We have an angel from heaven preaching a new gospel to someone, and that someone then preaches that new gospel to the world, and it becomes a religion, it becomes Islam, and its followers say that we should be calling for peace upon this prophet's head. And yet St. Paul says if anybody does that, we should be calling for curses upon that person's head. Have you ever heard the Pope cursing Muhammad? The Pope goes along to these interfaith meetings. He goes along with this. They're even inviting Muslims into the churches to pray. Our religion should be separate from these. We shouldn't be mixing the religions together into one. And we certainly shouldn't be describing Islam as an Abrahamic faith or Judaism as an Abrahamic faith. That means going along with this New Age idea. That means turning our backs on our ancestors and on our traditions. And it means ignoring the fact that Christianity was exclusive. And we always thought that it was exclusive. We never went out to the Near East to liberate the Holy Land by converting the Arabs into being Christian. We went out there to liberate the Holy Land. There was never any idea of trying to convert these people. That's something that's come about in the last couple of hundred years. Christianity, when it began, it was all white nations. All you have to do is look at the representations of the people in the Bible in the churches to see that they're all Aryan. You're not going to find representations of Abraham sacrificing his son Isaac, getting ready to sacrifice his son Isaac. You're not going to find that in a synagogue. You're not going to find that in a mosque. You are going to find it in British churches. You're going to find it in these stained glass windows. You might find it in statues, sculptures, and they will always be of Aryan types. You know, you look at the stained glass windows, they're all blonde haired. None of them are Arabs. Just because today in that part of the world we have these Arab people, it doesn't mean that the original Christians were like that. It's 2,000 years later. The original Christians look like the representations that we have of them in our churches. This drive to try and make a universal religion, this new world order religion that they're trying to push, which is going to be a blend of Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. It's entirely satanic. Entirely satanic. Even if you don't believe in this, if you think my translation of the word mamza is wrong, the very fact that Christ said that he was the truth And Christianity has always been taught since the beginning that it was the only truth, because there is only one truth. If you believe in that, then you shouldn't be talking about there being Abrahamic religions. You shouldn't be accepting that there is an equivalency between Christianity and anything else. And when I hear nationalists doing this, and it's usually pagan types that do it, they're just showing their allegiance to the New World Order. They're just showing that they go along with what the Muslims are trying to push and what the Jews are trying to push, and also what the establishment church is trying to push. And what we should be doing is standing up for the truth wherever it leads us. I mean, I get accused of maybe not being loyal enough to, not holding British people up in with enough respect. Well, the truth is that the British have done some pretty bad things over the years, and we have to be honest about this. We have to have our movement based upon foundations of truth. We have to accept the good with the bad. We can't just claim responsibility for the great achievements of our race. We also have to claim responsibility for the great failures that we have made. As well, we have to accept the fact that we are flawed beings. This is where religion comes into it. This is where Christianity comes into it. I firmly believe that Christianity and nationalism go together. What was the most important thing that Christ said? He said, well, you should love your neighbor as you love yourself. And who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is he who looks like you. Your neighbor is your extended family. Your kinsman, that's who your neighbor is. So that law in itself is nationalism, which means putting the good of the nation before the good of the individual. And that's how you show your love for God. You love your brother. When it says you should love your enemies as you love yourself, that means don't fall out with your brother. It doesn't mean you should love the enemies of God. I mean, we can love the fact that we can learn from them, that the fact that we have the ability to learn from them, we learn not to be like them. But essentially, we should be saving all our hate for Satan. We should be saving all our hate for the originator of all the problems that we have. Because the people on earth are just, none of them are going against God's will. They all act according to God's will. And we are punished when we do wrong to try and put us back onto the right path, to try and correct us onto the right path. This diversity that we are suffering at the moment, this is to force us to understand that we should be against that. We should be for homogeneity. We should be for an ethnostate. And if we didn't have it, we wouldn't understand that. We would still be fighting against one another. It wasn't in America until they had blacks over there that they realized that white people are equal to one another when juxtaposed against blacks. And that was the first real sense of unity among the white race, whereas before we'd had these different nations. That was the first inkling of a sense of unity. We may have had it when we first originally became Christian, when other European nations became Christian, such as when the Scots became Christian and King Arthur was about to kill them, and they said, well, don't kill us because we're Christian brothers just like you. And Christianity helped to try and stop us fighting against one another. But it really wasn't until we had the blacks in America that the white people in America realized that the German is the brother of the Briton, and the Italian is the brother of the Briton, and the Frenchman is the brother of the Briton. And we are all faced with competition from these non-white races who have exploded in their birth rates over the last 100 years and are gradually replacing us. And this should help us to develop a sense of identity. This should help us to develop a sense of nationality and a sense of being a part of the same extended family and doing what we can for one another. And I don't think by talking about Abrahamic faiths and seeing Islam or Judaism as being the same as Christianity is any help whatsoever. We should be looking for these racial parts in Christianity and using those racial parts to bring Judeo-Christians to our side. Because if they're serious about following the Bible, then they will be serious about the way that it's understood and understanding it in the way that it should be understood. And they shouldn't be seeing Muslims or Jews as their brothers. They should be seeing them as the scourge that is being used to punish us, to get us to go in the right direction. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of our usual, more secular style of content. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.